And all of a sudden, he's like, "Who are you?" And he messaged me, and he's like, "What are you doing? Like, who are you?" I was like, "What do you mean? I'm just doing your logo studies." And he's like, no, why are you doing this?" And I'm like, "Well, this is weird. Why is he talking to me?"
Welcome to the Passion Behind the Art Show. It's all about diving in with individuals to learn the story behind their passion. It's your host, Daryl Pinna. So I'm super excited, just energized. I just came back from Creative South last week, and every time I go to this conference, it gets me ready and energized to take on the world. So go to creativesouth.com to make sure that you don't miss CS 2019, Creative South 2019. Now, I have a bunch of new stuff that I'm planning to do a bunch of giveaways. I really did a few giveaways leading up to Creative South, and I really enjoy just giving away stuff. So go to passionbehindart.com to sign up, and I'm going to be doing exclusive shows and giveaways and discounts and just giving back to you awesome people that have been listening to this podcast. Thank you for everyone that purchased a shirt from Cotton Bureau, the podcast shirt from Cotton Bureau. Can't wait to see you guys. Once you get your shirt, like, share a pic with you wearing it, and you may just get something. Matter of fact, you are. So share a pic with you once you get your Passion Behind the Art shirt, and something will be on your way. And just hashtag Passion Behind the Art, or tag the podcast handle, which is PBTA Podcast. All right. So let's jump into this week's episode. Another awesome individual.
Well, I am excited to have the wonderful Melinda Livesey on the Passion Behind the Art Show. Melinda, welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yes, it's good to have you on the show. You know, we were joking off air that, you know, you're a bit of a superstar now. You're becoming a household name.
Yeah, I guess so.
At least in the creative industry. So, Melinda, tell us how your design journey started.
Well, so I was just talking to someone last week about this, and it did start when I was a kid, unbeknownst to me, because I didn't really know what design was. I would make origami flowers, turtles, and stars, and sell them to my grandma. So that was like the start of my design / entrepreneurial journey, and she totally bought them. She was the best. She was like the one that, you know, supported me through everything besides my mom. So that's one. But then also, I always wondered when I was a kid, this is going way back, is how, like, I would look at Coke cans or candy bars or anything that was printed, and I had no idea how that happened. And I would look at it, and I'm like, how do they get that flat color? Because in my mind, I'm like, well, do they paint it? Like, I'm trying to figure this out as a kid, you know? And it totally made no sense to me. I had no clue. So I think I questioned it very early on. Had no idea what it was. Started college and was majoring in illustration. Oh. And I took a typography class because it was a part of the curriculum. And I found out what design was. And I was like, oh, this is what I'm supposed to do. And there's a purpose to illustration. There's a purpose to fine art, because I always grew up painting, drawing. But when I found design, it was like, oh my gosh, like, you can actually communicate visually. Oh, and so that's my short journey from.
It's just great. What's funny to me is, like, when most people are kids, they'll say, like, oh, you know, I was playing with my crayons, or I was playing with my markers. You're making origami objects and selling them.
And sell, yeah. To my family members.
That is funny. All right, so let's fast forward a little bit. Since a lot has changed for you, which we're going to get into, Like, what is the first hour or couple hours of your day look like now, currently?
Currently, I do have, I guess you would say I have a little bit of a routine. I usually wake up like 7:30-ish. I do read the Bible and pray for probably like, I don't know, it's anywhere between a half hour, 45 minutes, read a devotional.
Okay.
Just my quiet time with God. So that's most every day, unless something happens or I accidentally sleep in. So that's, you know, that's the aim. That's the ideal. My dog usually is at me to feed him. Like, I do have a routine. It's like read and pray. Actually, but even before that, I have to feed my dog, bring him out, and then I go back in and make some breakfast for my husband and I. And I'm usually starting work by, I would say, by 9:30. Like, after I get the house together, I have to get things in order in my office, in my house, before I can sit down and focus. So that's usually by 9:30. I'm sitting down. I open up my email, open up my my calendar. Those are the two things I open up first and start my day.
Oh, okay. What kind of dog do you have?
He's a lab weenie. So he is a Labrador mixed with a wiener dog, if you can imagine. Or they also call them a doxador, like a
okay.
Dog. Lab. Yeah. Yeah.
Sounds like a cute dog.
He is adorable. We call him a perma puppy because it looks like a Labrador is just a permanent puppy. He's just kind of short and
right.
Long. But
which yeah. Makes sense because they're legit looks like they look like a puppy all the time.
Exactly. Yeah.
So, all right. So now this great journey, this great pivot, like before all of this, like, were you designing on your own? Did you work for agencies? Like, tell me a little bit about that part.
Yeah, so right after, like, I started freelancing before I graduated college back in, gosh, it's been 10 years now. So back in 2008, I graduated. But before then, I was doing side projects, you know, for family or for friends. So freelanced. And then right after I graduated, I got an internship with Oakley.
Okay.
And I stayed there for a while. So they hired me on full time. I worked in the marketing and advertising, the graphics department, really. But they did marketing, advertising, retail displays, photo shoots. And I was, you know, the like mid-level junior designer there for a few years. And then I wanted to venture out on my own and freelance. And so I quit. And I freelanced, and so actually freelanced a lot for them too, like in different departments and PR and retail. So I didn't venture too far. It's like I didn't venture too far away from home. But I got my own clients. I tried that out, and they actually hired me back in the branding department. So it was this special, they called it the Design Kitchen, and it was a special team of, I think it was like four or five of us. And we would work on product graphics. We would work on collections of eyewear and the colors and the packaging. So packaging, facades, in-store displays, anything that was more branding oriented as opposed to the marketing advertising. So I stayed there, and then the company is very large, and it was bought by a bigger company, and they decided to consolidate some departments and dissolve our graphics department. So I actually got laid off now. Coming up on 3 years. And I always wanted to own my own business. I always wanted to do my own thing. So to me, I was like, that's cool. Like, okay. You know, that chapter of my life, that's over. I had great experiences. I learned a ton. Amazing people. Like, great people that I worked with. And so it opened the door for me to start my own thing. So the next day after I got laid off, I was actually freelancing on site for one of my friend's companies that she worked at. And I kind of was just floating around freelancing, and then thought about 6 months after that that I should probably get serious about this. So either do freelancing, like really just get some recruiter and be on site every so often, like every few months, and get projects, or start my own business and get my own clients. And I figured that's probably the better way because that's, I like making my own structure rather than fitting into someone else's. So that's where Marks and Maker came about.
Okay, cool. So Marks and Maker is alive and kicking, and you're now growing. what I really want to know is, like, what made you, do you kind of have pinpoint, like, what made you want to, like, start your own business? Like, where did that come from?
I think, like I said, when I was making origami and selling it to my grandma, I know it goes way far back, but it's true. Like, I was always entrepreneurial minded. My family's that way. Multiple people in my family, they run businesses. They have side gigs. A ton of them are artists. They're musicians. They're more on the creative end, but they also run their own businesses. And so to me, it was like, well, that's just what you do. And then I also taught piano lessons when I was 16 to 22. So at the end of high school through college, and that was my job. And I had to do my finances. I had to pay my own taxes. I was running my own business. And I got offered a job teaching at an actual music school. And they're like, well, you need your master's and you need this, and we're only going to pay you. It was like a third of what I was charging people. And I was like, why would I do that if I'm getting my own clients? Like, I think I had around 17 students at one point. Like, it ranged anywhere between 10 to 17 at one time. And so they're half hour lessons a week. So I was working, you know, 5 to 10 hours a week, making triple what my friends were making at a retail store or whatever else they were doing on the side while they go to school. And yeah, these places were offering me a third of what I was making. So I was thinking, wait a minute, if I get my own clients, take all the risk, and am able to run a business well, you know, right, run a teaching, run that well, then I could potentially be making a ton more than if I worked for someone else, and I'd have to work a ton more hours. I'd have to have all these qualifications I didn't have. I'm like, I'm not going to get a master's in, no, like, I'm doing design, but I know how to play, and I know how to teach it. So it was always in me. Like, it was always in me to be an entrepreneur. It's a way of life to me. Just what you do.
Okay. So do you still play piano?
I do. Not as often as I did before, but my husband wishes I would play more, which I should. We have a piano, so I should.
So that means you probably sing too.
I don't.
Wow.
Crazy. I know.
Especially most female musicians I know, they sing too.
It's true.
Wow. Now, I'm fascinated about the music end, because that's like my hidden passion. So, but we're going to hold off. I got to get you to play. Probably not not today, but on another time. We got to get you to play. That is, I'm even more fascinated now. So, you're building Marks & Maker. How did this Chris Doe pivot happen? Like, did y'all know each other before? Like, how did that happen?
So, weird story. I have an e-course called Prelance, and it's to teach graphic design graduates how to freelance, because I was never taught that in school. This was before I even knew about Chris Doe. Like, he was doing his thing, and this was in, I think, 2016 was when I started doing like a beta test for the e-course. And I did the beta course, and one of the students actually posted the video of Chris, the one that went viral about him pricing the logo.
Yeah, I remember that.
So that one got like 3 million views or something. And I saw it, and I was like, who is this guy? I was like, I don't know. And I didn't know anything about him. I didn't know anything about him. And so the student the beta tester that was in there, he's like, I saw this on How to Price, and I still don't get it. And so I was like, well, that's perfect, because I'll show you. Because I'm like, well, if you can't learn from this guy who seems like he knows what he's talking about, because I'm like, I don't know who he is. And then I'm thinking, well, cool, I'm glad you're in the course. Like, I'll teach you what I know and see if you can get somewhere. So I forgot how many students we had. I think we had about 30 that went through the beta course.
Nice.
Gave me feedback. I launched it with a business partner. So I had that up and going for about, I don't know, 9 months before I met Chris.
Wow.
So then I come across Chris again, because he keeps popping up in my feed. I'm like, okay, I saw this guy before. My beta student had had shown me this, so maybe I should check him out. So I started listening to his stuff. I'm like, I see this is actually really good. So I started listening to his podcast, watching his videos, and I found his Facebook page. And on his Facebook page, he was posting the logo studies. Like, if you want to get better at logo design, you can do these assignments. And I saw that he had went to Art Center. And here in California, and, you know, in the U.S., it's an amazing school.
Big deal.
Huge deal. Like, in the world, it's a huge deal. And I wanted to go, but I never really tried. And I thought, and I've been to Art Center at night, like, their classes, because I'm not too far from them. And so I've always loved that school. And I thought, well, if he's giving away free information and teaching what he was teaching at Art Center, why, of course, I would try it. And prior to that, I was feeling like really down on myself, like design wise. And my younger cousin, who's a concept artist, I saw him painting every single day. And he'd be over our house and he'd be painting. He's like 5 years younger than me. We're like close, like brother and sister. And he was continually getting better and better and better. And I'm like, dang, you got really good. Like, looking at his stuff from a year prior, it was amazing how much he grew. And so he inspired me to start looking for resources for my own self in design. And so that's what brought me to Chris, where I was looking at what he was teaching. And I thought, well, he's teaching really good stuff and I'm already inspired to learn. So I'm going to do what he says. So I think the first assignment was trace 5 classic, like, master logos. So things from Paul Rand, Saul Bass, Doyle DeYoung. So any of those older guys that really knew what they were doing.
Right.
To take the logos, to print them out, and then trace them. And just to observe what they did. Like, just observe the logo. That's all. We're just trying to find out what they did, how they made their decisions, how things line up. And you'll learn things as you start tracing them. So I did. And I would post the studies on the comments. And he said, you know, share your studies. And so I kept doing it. And I planned time to study for weeks. And so every week I would come back and I would post more. I had to scroll down his page too to find, it was before the save, I think, or before I knew about it, before you could save posts on Facebook. So I was scrolling and scrolling and scrolling. I'm like, I gotta post this. And so I figured, well, maybe he'll critique it, or maybe, I don't know, like, maybe I'll get his attention or something. And so I kept doing the studies, and then it got to the studies with the grid. And I was like, oh, this is so me. I love this stuff. Like, I love geometry. I love shapes. I love the golden ratio. Oh, this is, I just ate it up. And so I kept posting the work. And most people trickled off as far as the ones that were participating in the exercises. But then I was like the only one that kept posting. And all of a sudden, he's like, who are you? And he messaged me. And he's like, what are you doing? Like, who are you? I was like, what do you mean? I'm just doing your logo studies. And he's like, no, why are you doing this? And I'm like, well, this is weird. Why is he talking to me? And then he said, do you have 10 minutes to Skype? And I was freaked out. I was like, what? Because at this point, I finally figured out who he was. I respect him. I respect his design and everything that he provides. And so to have him reach out and be like, hey, let's jump on Skype, I was freaked out. I'm like, what is going to happen? So we got on Skype and he's like, I'm really curious about you because I can't figure you out. And I was like, what do you mean? I'm just someone who wants to learn and I post on your Facebook. And he said, no, because the way you study the logos, he said, is like I would study it. Is there another me running around out there? And I was like, that's like the best compliment I can get right now. I was so excited. I was like, are you serious? So he said, well, I got to figure out, like, do you own a studio? What do you do? Why are you wasting your time doing this? You're clearly good at what you're doing. So what? Like, what is it? What do you want? And I was like, what are you talking about?
He said, what do you want?
I was like, I just want to get better. I don't know if you said it like that, but that's how I'm remembering it.
That is funny.
And I said, I just want to learn, and you're providing free information, so I want to learn. So we had that Skype call, and then the next week he called me, and it was like I had a free coach. Like, he was calling me. I'm like, okay, well. So we chatted some more. He's like, well, what do you want to do? What are your goals? You know, you have a studio that you started, so how's it going? And I'm like, well, it's going okay, but I have some issues here. I don't know what to do here or there. And also, a lot of your information that you're giving, I don't get it, and I can't do it. Like, there's too big of a gap between where you're at, and I think it sounds ridiculous, and it's laughable because I don't know how to get there. And so we just kept talking. He gave me a ton of help, like tons of help with pricing, with finding my ideal client. And so then I told him, well, would you be my coach if I give you 10%? Like, if I land an $80,000 job, I will give you 10%. And he's like, I don't know. And so I was trying to convince him, like, be my coach. Come on. Because I can't afford you, obviously. But I'm willing to work this out. And so he's like, I don't know. I've had some people ask, but I don't know how that would work. And I was like, okay, well, I'm just saying. Or you could teach me up, and I can help teach people. Because it just makes sense. Because there's only one of you. So you kind of have to multiply yourself, right? So I'm trying to sell myself at this point. And he just was laughing at me. So we kept talking. He kept helping and coaching me. And then he eventually just asked, so what are your thoughts about being on YouTube? And I was like, for what? Why? What? Why? And he had recently asked on Facebook for, he was looking for a woman co-host. And he said, did you see I posted that on Facebook? I was like, yeah, I saw it. He goes, well, why didn't you apply for it? I said, I don't know. Why should I? Should I? And so, that was the strange kind of lead up to me being on YouTube. So he's like, you come on the show and I'll coach you. And all I ask is that you're utterly honest. Just be honest with where you're at, what you're struggling with, because you ask questions that people want to know. And he said, those are things that I didn't even know I needed to teach because I assumed people knew. And so he said, you're bringing up questions that I didn't know I needed to cover. So he wanted me to be there to, you know, speak for the people and be that voice that he didn't know. He doesn't know that he was supposed to be talking to. So
that's amazing. So now you got through this process, became a YouTube sensation. And what is it like now after this whole journey? What is it like now for you?
It is, gosh, it's so different. I think for one, my mindset is completely shifted. Mm-hmm. I am in this constant journey of learning. Like, everything I am learning, I'm experimenting. Whereas before Chris, you know, pre-Christo, I would have days where I didn't have client work. I was such a freelancer at that point. It was like I'm switching from the freelancer mentality to business owner. And the freelancer mentality is like, oh, I'm not booked for a job. Cool. I'm going to go out and I'm going to go to the pool, or I'm going to go to the beach, or I'm going to go hang out with friends or have a day off. Where now, if I have a day off from client work, I am building my business. So I'm figuring out my processes. I'm trying to figure out maybe value-based pricing. That's something I'm working on now. I'm learning, I'm meeting with other people from the pro group, from Chris's pro group. We formed like little mastermind groups in there. And so it's like a constant learning, just constant. So that's one big shift. The other big shift, which I'm so excited about, is that prior to Chris, I would take on small jobs, like freelance jobs, like design stuff that I would never put in my portfolio or want anyone to know that I did it. Those kind of things. And since Chris, I have, because also I lead with trying to figure out my client's problem and not just let them lead the engagement and tell me, you know, be an order taker. And so my work that I'm doing is exponentially better, like completely different than what I used to do before, because the relationship with my client is completely different. So I'm actually really proud of the past, I would say like 5 or 6 clients that I've had recently. I am so proud of the work that I've done with them because my whole process has changed. Wow. And I'm so thankful for that.
That's amazing. it's just crazy how you'll find people that will just have this knack to just pour into other people with, like, literally no strings attached. So it's always cool that it comes around. So now that you've got this change, like, my question is, and this is kind of personally for me, like, how are you getting these or attracting these better paying or better clients, quote unquote?
Yeah. So one thing Chris had me do was up my game with my portfolio pieces. And that was something that I started working on in the summer with him. And from his suggestions. And I took a look at, you know, I thought they were pretty good. I just threw them up on my site. And then I actually looked at them and he said, no, compare yourself to people like Farm Design, to, there's another one, Stitch Design Co. that I really like, and look at how they present their work. Are you on par with them? And I'm like, well, no. I'm pretty far from that, actually. So I took a lot of time and refined my mock-ups, refined my case studies, and really put more time into it. They could even be better from now, but they are so much better than where they were before. And so that's been a big thing. So there has been clients that found me on, I had a few clients find me on Behance. I don't know if any of those actually materialized that, but then there, that was one thing that clients have been telling me that have come recently is they were thinking about somebody else. And then they said, then I came across your site and your work. That's what got me. Wow. Or this one project, this got me. And so I know that upping my work has helped attract those clients. Like, one client came because she was going down the rabbit hole of internet searching, and she came to a copywriter I had used who I gave a testimonial to, and she's like, oh, I wonder who she is. Clicked on my site and she saw my work. And she ended up picking me instead of the design firm she was going to go for, because of my work. And so that's something that I really want to concentrate even more on now, like as I do my new case studies, is really concentrate on the presentation, because that is the hook that people, it ends up getting the people. So that's one, is making really good work so that when people stumble upon me, they actually want to work with me. And then two is making connections, like connections and networking for me, connecting with people who do something related, but not exactly what I do. Like, one of my friends is a social media manager or content creator. And so we've teamed up on a few things where we refer clients to each other, or then if I'm done with them, I pass them off to her and she can finish implementing certain things. So those types of, they're like strategic partnerships, have worked really well for me, because they're like, well, I don't do branding, but I know someone who does. And then I do the branding and then I pass them off to execute on any little stuff that I wouldn't necessarily do. So those kind of partnerships, I've just talked with someone about doing email automation things. And I'm like, I don't want to do any of that stuff. You can do it. Like, go to the specialist. So we're forming these strategic partnerships where we refer clients, or we'll give each other a referral bonus. And work those out for trusted people that I would be okay with handing off my client to. So that's another way.
Oh, that's cool. That's cool. That's a pretty cool idea. I like that. So during this journey, like, what would you say? I know you were talking about before that you were kind of even in a rut before this all started. Like, what would you say was the hardest struggle you had to overcome?
It was, gosh, I mean, it's myself. It ended up as myself. I was the one as my struggle, because it was the mindset. It was fear of charging more. Oh. It was fear of hearing no. It was a lot of, I would say fear. Fear was the biggest thing, because I was scared to make my prices too high and then have someone tell me no, or try to negotiate with me, because I would crumble like a flower, like just bad. So I couldn't stand up to... That's another thing that Chris has helped me out with, is like having a strong personality to deal with. I've had to learn how to respond to that kind of personality. So he has helped me in so many ways.
That's awesome.
But yeah, dealing with I think it's just the fear of the unknown, the fear of people and what they think. And in that, I realized that I was doing very poor work, and I wasn't working with clients who who would bring out, that I could bring out the best in them and what they're doing, and they could bring out the best in me too. It just wasn't a thriving, it worked. I mean, it was fine, but it was one of those like transactional relationships. Just do this. I'll pay you. Thank you. Bye. And that's not how I want my client relationships to be. So fear was a big struggle.
Okay. So other from Chris, like who is in Melinda's support crew?
My husband. My husband is in my support crew. I am so thankful for him. Like when I got laid off, a lot of people, like they just had the mindset, like just get another full-time job. That's just what you do. And he knew that I always wanted to work for myself and always wanted to start a business. And he encouraged it. He definitely, like anything that I wanted to do, he encouraged it. And so I'm so thankful for him. And even before that, my mom, when raising me, she was always like that too. Like, whatever you want to do, I support it. You want to take piano lessons, I will support it. Like, you want to do art and drawing and major in graphic design, cool, I'll support it. And so I always had that, like, all right, if you want to do it, we will back you type of family. So that is massive. I have cousins that are super close to me, my brother, and just everyone in my family is very supportive of everyone's dreams and goals. And then my professional circle, I do have a group of women who I'm very close with from Chris's pro group that we meet almost every week on Skype, and talk about our business struggles. We ask each other, you know, hey, do you guys have a proposal I could use? Like, we share resources. We encourage each other and we help each other with things we're struggling with. And then I have a lot of different like friend groups. And I have another very close, group of friends that are like a small group, you know, we do life together. They probably are the ones that know the most about me. And I feel besides my husband, that I feel the most accepted with them because they know everything. Like, bad, the good, the bad, the ugly, and I meet with them once a week, faithfully once a week, at Starbucks. So I have a lot of support groups.
That's cool. I like that. I like that. It's good to have, you know, people that, you know, you can kind of just be yourself with, and they kind of just can see you transparent. Because then that's where the true helping and true growing happens.
Exactly. Yeah.
So, let's get to some fun stuff. The one gear that you cannot live without.
Oof. My Wacom tablet. Definitely wow. my Wacom tablet.
Which one do you have?
So, you're gonna laugh. So, I have the... It's like a big one.
Okay.
And then I got over the big... I don't know what it is. The Intuos...
Okay, I think I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, it's the black one. And I was using it, and it was, like, being weird. It was doing weird stuff. And so I went back to my super old one that's really small. It's, like, a 4x6.
The Bamboo?
I don't know. It's this gray one. I think I've had it since college. Like, over 10 years.
That's
which it. I'm surprised it still works with my computer. And so I went back to that because it's great. And my hand, you know, it's so much better than using the trackpad on my laptop. So I feel like I can't live without that thing. I can't.
Oh, that's funny. I do have the little gray one, too. But I don't really use it anymore. I haven't used it in years.
You probably graduated.
It's just after you lose that hand-eye coordination, it's like trying to get it back.
Oh, yeah. Well, I have mine set on as, like, mouse mode, so it's not the kind where if you're in the corner, it's not necessarily the corner of your computer.
Okay.
Because that trips me up. So I use it like a mouse.
Oh, okay.
Which people say, like, well, that just defeats the purpose. Like, well, no, because it's like a mouse, but it's a pen. It's perfect. I like it. It's worked for me.
That's cool. It's good to hear. I mean, because mine is just hair collected dust, so you just inspired me to probably pull it out again.
Yeah.
So what is next? I know you have this, after listening on YouTube, I know you have this financial goal for this year that you're trying to reach. Outside of that, like, what are some of the things that's next for Melinda? What are you most excited about coming up?
So besides Marks and Maker, which is so fun and I love it, and hard, lots of difficult things. I actually am starting a personal brand, if you will. Melinda Livesey. And so, and that's what something Chris had brought up back in the summer. He's like, well, you're a public figure now. And I was like, you are ridiculous. Like, I just laughed at him. I'm like, I'm just a student right now. Like, I am not a public figure. I might be in the public eye, but I am not a public figure. And so I just laughed him off. And he goes, no, you should probably be doing some vlogs, like, while you're on your way here. Because it takes me, sometimes if it's there's a lot of traffic to LA, it takes me, like, over 2 hours.
Wow.
On a good day, it's 45 minutes. That's how bad traffic is here. So anyway, he's like, yeah, just, you know, get on your phone while you're on your way here, do a vlog. And I just laughed at him. I'm like, no way, I'm not doing that. And ever since the last taping, I do feel like I have learned a lot since I first started being coached by him that I want to share with other people. And I've gotten so many messages, like messages, comments, emails of people asking me, like, well, how did you do this? And I have a problem with this. And so I realized that I do have some things that I want to share with people. And so I started an email list, and I'm sending out a weekly progress email. It's like getting a look into my journal, which is semi, I'm using it as like, if for me, but, and for people as well, because I'm tracking my progress mm-hmm. in the emails, but then I'm also sharing resources, sharing what I learned so that people can go on this journey with me in real time. Where I think of like pre-Lance, I did that e-course, and it's how I got to where I was when I got on Chris's show.
Okay.
And it's a time capsule. It's like, if you have no idea how to freelance, start there. Mm-hmm. But what I'm doing now, I just want to share my journey and grow with people and share with them like I would my friends. Like, I want it to be like, if someone reads my newsletter, I want it to be like they feel like they're sitting across from me either on Skype or at coffee or dinner, and they're hearing me talk like I normally would, because I get really excited about books that I read and things that I learn, and I want to share that with my friends, and I want the newsletter to feel that same way, that people feel like they know me, like we're friends, that we're sitting across from coffee and I'm sharing all of these things I've learned. And I feel privileged that people actually want to hear what I have to say. Like, I always crack up when someone wants to ask me on a podcast, or when they have a guest blog that they want me to write. And I'm so grateful that I have someone that's interested in what I have to say. Like, they actually want to hear what I have to say. It's amazing. Cause I'm also very, very into like thinking, and I'm introverted. And so I love thinking about concepts or ideas or thinking through things. And to be able to talk about that with someone who's interested is so fun. It's so incredible. So I want to do more of that. Like, I want to do more of sharing what I'm learning with people who want to learn with me.
That is great. I love it. So in regards to the newsletter, I'm just, the curiosity is peaking. Like, how are you putting this together? Like, are you just like setting time aside to kind of like write it up? Or I'm just curious how you document the journey.
Yeah, so I have an Evernote that I name, like, right now I'll be on number 3 next week, and I name it number 3. That's all it is. And I'll start, if I learn something, I will just put a note. Mm. Like, oh, I learned something new. I'm going to put a note about it because I want to mention that in email. And so I'll just throw it in there during the week. If I was on a podcast, I'll throw in things that I've done during the week, books that I've read, or if I learned something from a book, like, I'll just start just like putting notes randomly. And then I've only sent out 2 so far. So this is my process by only doing 2 newsletters, but it's worked so far. So by Thursday afternoon, I look at my notes and I write the email. So it usually consists of updates, resources, readings, any freebies that I have. Like, I gave away some business card mock-ups from the first 2 weeks, and someone that I know in my network helped me put smart objects in there. So I'm like, oh my gosh, like, how many cool things could we share with each other if we start collaborating? So then my mind's like, oh my gosh. So I write down ideas too of things I might want to share with people. I took extra photos when I was doing my portfolio pieces, and that turned into free business card mock-ups. So I'm trying to bring people into my daily and weekly business life and bring them along with me so they can experience it too. So I make notes throughout the week. I sit down on Thursday afternoon. I write it up, set it up in MailChimp by the end of the night, and then it's set to send out by Friday morning.
I'm just curious because, you know, if you don't like the idea that you're like, as something happens, you're kind of just making a note there, and then it kind of helps instead of like, Thursday night, I'm going to start writing up everything that I did. So it's just curiosity.
Yeah. And what's so cool about it is that it feels like I'm going to meet my friend on Thursday. It's like, oh my gosh, I'm going to tell my friend. It's like gathering up all my ideas and all the things I've learned. And I'm so excited by that. By the time I sit down to write it, I just flow. Like, I don't have an issue with writer's block at this point right now. It just comes out of me because I am so excited to share the information. And so far it's worked. So I'm going to keep this process because I feel like I'm fueled and I'm in the flow, and it's just a natural thing for me to do. And I don't want to, so I don't want to write emails 6 weeks in advance. Like, I want people to know in real time what happened this week. And so that's, I don't know if I can keep that going forever, but so far people like it and I like doing it. So I'll try it.
I like it. I like it. Sounds good. It sounds very interesting. Mm-hmm. So as we get closer to the end, what advice would you have for creatives, someone that wants to go out and do their own thing, but they are probably struggling with this fear thing? Just what advice would you have? What's on your heart?
I would say just do something, like move forward, even if it's a small baby step, and not just sit there and perfect something before you get it out into the world. That it's not like, like getting something going, whether that's a business or you want to start a new career or get out into the creative field. And I'm speaking from my own experience that I used to try to perfect what it was I wanted to send out into the world, or perfect a skill before I would show anyone or before I would present it. And I learned once I'm finally out in the open and I'm in front of people's eyes, I'm doing my thing and posting on social media, even posting on social media used to be like fear ridden. And you do it and it's like, oh, it's like traction. It's like, you didn't stop just with that one action. You got to keep going. And the last one, it's probably not going to be perfect, and that's fine. And the next one's going to be a little better, and it still's not going to be perfect. And it's, you want to get the momentum, not the performance. Like, right. It's not about the perfection. It's not about the performance. It's about the traction that you get and the momentum. So just start moving forward and keep going. Like, don't stop, just keep going. And that's the biggest thing. Cause then you just, you know, can't move a parked car.
That is the truth.
You can't go anywhere. So.
All right. So where can people go to learn more about Melinda?
So they can go to a lot of places. Look up Marks and Maker on every platform. You'll probably find it. Look at Melinda Livesey on almost every platform. Right now, I'm most active on Instagram under my name, Melinda Livesey, and Marks and Maker. They can find me on Twitter under Melinda Livesey. They can find me on Prelance, prelance.com, marksandmaker.com. I do not have melindalivesey.com yet. It just goes to Marks and Maker. So just look up all those things and you will find me. I'm around. I am around. YouTube. I post stuff on YouTube once in a while, even. So.
Yeah, I'm struggling with the YouTube.
Man, yeah. I figured I had to because I'm on YouTube with Chris and I'm commenting, and people, I had 100 subscribers before I posted one video. And I was like, wait a minute. So I have subscribers. So obviously they want to see something from me. So I should probably post something. And so that's why I started posting stuff, because I'm like, well, if you're following me already, I'm like, I might as well give you something. So That was fun.
That's funny. So that was before you even posted anything on...
That was before I posted anything.
So this was just because you were on Chris's channel.
Yeah, and that's the thing Chris told me. He said, before you get on the show, you better get all of your social media handles now. Because I didn't have Twitter. I was like, I hate Twitter. I'm not going to be on there. He's like, no, get it now. And sure enough, I had like a ton of followers before I posted anything because he was tagging me and things. And so thank you, Chris, because... Yeah.
This is amazing. Amazing, 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 amazing. Melinda, thank you so much for coming on, but I'm so happy for you.
Thank you. Thanks for having me and asking me on this. It's really fun.
Yes. After following you and just kind of seeing, really what really hooked me in is, I don't remember what episode when you were with Chris, and he asked you to kind of just speak on where all of this came from. Mm. And I was like, man, I like that. And you started talking about, like, this is not what makes you. And that kind of hooked me. And I was like, I definitely got to get to know this lady.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, Chris was asking me how I was so fearless. And it definitely made me reflect a lot recently. So... I'm glad that had an impact on you, too.
Well, I'm going to let you go, but thanks again for coming on. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Awesome. Well, until next time, Melinda.
Yes. Take care. We'll talk soon. You, too.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode. Go to passionbeyondart.com to learn more about what's going on and to be a part of the Facebook group, the giveaways, and much more, especially the in-depth shows that's coming up. Those will be exclusive shows. They'll be very in-depth to a particular subject matter. All right, so go to passionbeyondart.com. Be blessed.